hard act to follow. And that song with those four little ones, I was about ready just to close in prayer and be done. That was some great, great theology in those verses. We're glad that you're here and for the opportunity that we have for our last few minutes together to share not my wisdom on motherhood, not my wisdom on what it means to be a woman. I am no expert, but I am so thrilled that I have a book in which I can be very, very confident that nothing that I say that comes from it will be wrong. And that no one will ever come back to me later on and say, you told me such and such and it wasn't true. Because we have the very word of God to guide us and direct us. So I'd invite you to Proverbs 31. This is not always where I go to on Mother's Day, but I have gone there many, many times because it is such an incredible passage. Again, I would like to open it up a little bit more. This is not really a description, according to Scripture, of an excellent mother, though so much of this fits. But Scripture says this is an excellent wife's description. And I would also like to include the principles of this apply to every single lady who will ever live. And let's be honest as well, men, much of what we read here is just as important for us because we too need to be men and women that that are described as, you know, these verses describe. This was an important part of Jewish life. Traditional Jews, even still today on their Friday evening Shabbat meal, recite this passage, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. And in doing so, it is a way that they remind themselves of what it means to be a woman that that God is pleased with. It's an example for little girls that as they recite this year after year after year, week after week, they are reminding themselves, this is what I want to be as I grow up. This is who I want to be as I grow up. And even for the little boys, as they are reciting this, they're saying to themselves, this is the kind of girl I want to marry. This is the kind of girl who's just like my mom. This is the kind of girl that has the qualities that I need to be looking for in the mother of my children. And so, more than likely, the reason why it was written in the form that it was written in, it really was to aid in the memorization and the recitation of this passage. This is an acrostic. Verses 10 through 31 each start with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, of course, so much of it is lost in translation as the letters don't, you know, line up. But what it should remind us of, it should remind you, ladies, as you were nurturing a little one and they were seated on your lap and you were holding the ABC book. And as you opened the page and you would read to them, A is for apple. And B is for bear, and maybe there'd be some fuzzy, you know, fur there that the baby could rub on and feel and could touch the pictures. And you just would go through the alphabet, and each letter represented a whole nother scene, a whole nother image. And so what we might even say this morning, it would be for us like in honoring our mothers, we could say something like, you know, A is for amazing, because moms do so many incredible things, and everybody knows that nobody can make a hurt go away like mom. Nobody can be, you know, helpful when we most need help like a mom, and so they're amazing. We could say B's for busy, because they never hold still, right? They always are on the move, picking up, putting down, chasing, cleaning, just all the stuff that goes with motherhood. They're always busy. C is for creative, because what moms haven't designed forts and Halloween costumes and all kinds of fun events to keep the kids occupied and keeping them out of trouble. And of course, just one more, we could also say that D is for dynamite. If you ever watched television in the 70s, right? The beauty and the love of a mother to the father is just something that is born in heaven, and it, again, so pictures the love of our Heavenly Father for us. It's an acrostic, and we could go on through all of the of the different letters, and we'd come up with our own ideas. But as the author of Proverbs, in this particular passage, we believe was Solomon's mom, and she was giving this to Solomon. This very well could have been something that they, when Solomon was just a baby, went through, and all through his impressionable years. And so if you would, let's just kind of walk through this together. I'm not going to spend a lot of time until we get down to verse 25. But he starts off with just that reminder, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And that first important relationship between the wife and the husband is here pictured. And oh, how we honor you ladies for the incredible job that you do to support us as your husbands, to love us even when we're not lovable, to be there for us, to believe the best about us, to be ready to drop everything that you're doing to come and help us. And for all the ways that you do us good, for all the ways that you make us rich, even as Solomon pens, we too appreciate. And we call you blessed. We call you excellent because of the work that you do with your husbands. This picture, this acrostic, is not so much a comprehensive view of what every lady should possess, but it is much more this very broad painting with broad strokes and just it's very big. And in this description of motherhood and wifedom and being a woman for the Lord, you should be able to see your gifts in here. You should be able to see the way that God has wired you. And very few, if any, could look down every one of these verses and say, well, yeah, I possess every one of these qualities. And even if you did or you do, let's be honest, what limits you is not so much your abilities as it is your time. You just don't have enough time to develop all of these. For look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax. She works with willing hands. She finds enjoyment in the needlework, in the sewing, in the production of clothing and cloth goods. In maybe the same way that our prayers and squares love what they do. Yes, they get tired. Yes, their hands hurt. But they find joy in working and using the skill that God has given to them. Verse 14, you know, a virtuous woman is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. And some of you are the best cooks and the best bakers. And you delight in being in the kitchen, and you delight in variety, and you delight in trying new things. And because of that, your families are blessed. And even at those times when all that's being served is macaroni and cheese, that's because that's what's on the menu, it's still good, and it's still prepared with joy and gratitude. And maybe that's your gifting. Oh, what about verse 15? She rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens, taking care of the needs of the family. And even though maybe not spelled out on this verse, I oftentimes think of the mother who rises early in the night because of one of the children crying out in, you know, fever or in sickness or in fear. And who is it who always, almost always, hears first? Who's the quickest to arise? Who seems to always be kind of on call, if you will? Yeah, it's mom. And rising up early in the morning or late at night is never an excuse for them. It's never that we're too tired, we're too out of it, because it's part of motherhood. For some of you, you might maybe identify with the agricultural pursuits of verse 16. You love flowers, you love vegetables. You're always looking for a way to increase the blessing of the family by either the beauty of the food that you could bring into it. And some might even dabble in real estate. You see a good deal, you see something that's in a just neglected and it's a vacant lot and you see what it could be, and you know, you begin the conversation, negotiation, and before it's all said and done, you've purchased a piece of property that you begin with the fruit of your own hands to plant and to grow and to bring into the house the fruit of that. A lady like that, Solomon reminds us, dresses herself with strength. Not bulging biceps, but really a reference to confidence, security. You know, one of the greatest struggles that so many mothers, wives, women in general have today, as well as men, is insecurity. We doubt how God has made us. We compare ourselves with others. We can always find someone who's better looking or more talented or more gifted or who has more opportunities. And we beat ourselves up and we downplay our strengths because we're so focused on our weaknesses. Now, a woman who understands how God has made her and uses her gifts to bless her family and gets praise from her family as well as others is a woman that is confident and secure in who she is in the Lord. It makes her arm strong. She doesn't tire because she finds great joy in what she does. It meets a need in her very being. It fuels her so that she can continue on long after others have given up. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. What she does with her hands, what she does with her fingers, what she grows, what she makes. I'd like to expand that even a little more, the influence that she has on her children, just the work in general that she is involved in. She recognizes that it's profitable. Even like the song the kids sang, "Mom, when you do all these things, it's enough. You show me that it's enough because you show me the love of my Heavenly Father." And then again, in a time and age when we seem to focus on what we can't do well, or what we don't have enough time for, or what we can't get to because we're too tired, we lose the joy of what it is that we can do and the time that we can spend. Sometimes, ladies, you are so obsessed over your house that you don't have the time or the freedom to think clearly and enjoy what's going on. I'm just thinking of a time when we were knee-deep in diapers and the house was not as it normally would be. The kids were very young and there was a knock on the door. And oh my goodness, that strikes fear into the heart of any pastor when in the middle of the day somebody knocks on the door and the house is not presentable. It was a parsonage, and so it's even worse. And a lady came in, she wanted to see Marlene, and she plopped down on the couch right next to this huge pile of freshly laundered diapers. And Marlene was mortified, and she looked at Mabel and said, Mabel, it's okay, don't. And Mabel looked at her and said, "Marlene, I did not come to see your diapers. I came to see you." And together they just folded the diapers, and they talked, and they visited. And Mabel encouraged Marlene and reminded her that it is okay to be an overwhelmed mother. It's okay to not have enough time or energy to have your house always spick and span and the kids always exactly on task. It's just times when, moms, we just want to encourage you, just let go what you need to let go of and enjoy what you have while you have it. Because it's so quickly gone and it's so very hard to get back. What you do is profitable, and because of that, your lamp burns late at night and early in the morning. Another reference again now to making cloth, to making fabric. She's talking about, the spindle, the weaving machine, and here she is. She puts her hand to the distaff. She holds her hands to the spindle. She works to make the fabric in order to perhaps later then make the clothes or the items for the house. Always planning ahead, always just doing what she can to help out. But not only is she focused on her own family, she's focused to those on the outside of her family. In verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's a heart of compassion and a willingness to be involved. And she's not one to run from those who have needs, but she finds joy in meeting, as she can, those needs. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. Kind of another translation for scarlet is the word double thickness, and maybe a little bit more meaningful to us. She's not afraid of cold weather because her family all have warm clothes. Because of her industriousness, because of her gifts and her abilities, because of how God is blessed, she's able to prepare her family for the cold weather. As well, she can do some things for herself. She makes bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. I guess we would probably just say she dresses like a queen. I don't think for a second this means that you have to have expensive clothes and gaudy jewelry in order to kind of fit this bill. But what it is that you do have, you do everything you can to have it look as nice as it can be. You're what we would call a classy lady. And you take care and attention to detail. And we notice and we thank you for that. It's an incredible encouragement to us and such a good example for our daughters. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And I love this because it reminds me that that sometimes we as men are known more for who we're married to than our great accomplishments. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to be in the school where Marlene works, because in the school, for the most part, I'm a nobody. And then when she introduces me as her husband, or at times when the kindergartners guess that I'm her father, but we won't go there. You know, it's cool because my only importance at that moment, my only importance is that I'm her husband. I'm Mrs. Duncan's husband. And for me, that's enough. That's really neat. And I see that in this, in the gates, in the place of town government of Israel, where the important men sat. This husband was known for being married to Mrs. So-and-so. And it's our honor and it's our privilege to be your husband. And we say thank you for that privilege. 24, she makes linen garments. Again, kind of back to this theme that was so very common in that day. You didn't buy clothes, you made them. So she makes linen garments. Now, these would be more of the the special occasion wear, whether we would say gowns and special robes, fancier clothes, but she was able to make them and sell them, even sashes to merchants. She had a little side business going because she was known for her skill and for her ability with cloth and with needles and thread. Now we move into that passage that I just really love, and we'll stay here for just a few minutes longer. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. Strength, again, is not so much the physical strength as it is the confidence, the security. It is just the being okay with who you are and where you are in life. One of Satan's great tactics and his tricks against us is to get us when we're younger to wish we were older, and to get us when we're older to wish that we were younger, so that we miss what's going on in that moment. This woman is just confident. Oh, yeah, she might not like where she is. She might not like what she looks like now. She might not like what she's given up over the years. She might not like how close the end of life might seem to be. But she's confident there. She's comfortable there. She understands that God walks with her, that God is blessing her, that God is using her at every step of her life to accomplish his will. And wishing that we could be younger or anything else doesn't really help the situation. Being faithful in the moment, looking down the road, understanding that one day we'll have a new body that we know will work much better than our aging bodies. We are hopeful that they will look much better than our aging bodies, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of talking about that. But that is that comfort, that confidence, security, that we are where we should be, doing what we should be for our Lord and Savior in his honor and glory, and we're moving toward that day when we'll see his face. And that makes her strong. She's also clothed in dignity. In other places in the Old Testament, you know, this word is associated with honor, majesty, glory, beauty. And again, the idea is that though she might not love what she looks like at this stage in life, she understands that the real beauty is inside. And that beauty makes the outer beauty always beautiful, regardless of the stage of life. Those are the clothes that she puts on. So we would say that strength and majesty, or strength and honor, wrap around her in the same way that her physical clothes wrap around her aging body. And that is a testament to God's faithfulness to her and God's desire and excitement to walk with her and work with her as she continues to carry on the chores of life, even so much that she can laugh at the time to come. You know, so many of us live in fear of the future. We live in fear. Will I be able to do this? Will I be able to go? Will I have enough to live? Will anyone even remember? Will anyone even care? There's so much fear associated with the future as we age. And let's be honest, friends, so often the extreme end of our life is so very often not encouraging, and it's not pretty. Sometimes our dignity is taken away. Sometimes our ability to function is taken away. Sometimes we become so very dependent on those that it seems but yesterday we were raising, and they're changing our diapers now when once we change theirs. We don't like that. We don't wish that on anybody. But I want you to understand that when Solomon says that because of our confidence in who we are, created in the Lord's image, and because of the fact that Jesus walks with us and continues to give us grace for every phase of life, regardless of what's out there, we can smile. We can laugh. We do not have to live in fear. This virtuous woman, verse 26, opens her mouth with wisdom. The single greatest compliment, ladies, that we'll ever be able to pay you is that when you open your mouth, wisdom comes out. I want you to understand this is not wisdom that you pick up on the internet. You're not going to get it surfing the different social media platforms. There's only one place where this wisdom comes from, and it's not something that you run in, pick up, and run back out. Wisdom comes from spending time with wisdom, capital W. Wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ, God's Word. And there is no way to be wise if you don't spend time with Him. There's no way to have His wisdom. And if you're not in His book and regularly in His book, then you're not going to have His wisdom. You'll be like Proverbs 3. You will be leaning to your own understanding, and you'll be finding out the hard way what happens when you make poor choices because you're leaning on the wrong wisdom. No, a woman of integrity, a woman of honor, a woman of excellence is one who spends time with God. Ladies, I know, different stages of your life, you don't measure me time in hours or minutes. You measure it in seconds. I mean, literally, I know that if you're in that stage of life where you have a baby in your arms and two by your feet, there is so very little time for you. And usually by the time you're done with them, you can't hold your eyes open long enough to even find your Bible, much less read it. And I'm not here to put guilt on you in any way, but if I can just encourage you, ladies, if you can just make it your habit when you do have a second, that you just always choose God's Word first. There'll be time for all of that other stuff. And that other stuff can be enjoyable. It can be important. It can be vital. It can keep you connected in so many ways with so many people. But can you just make it never be more important than God's wisdom? Can you strive to just, with the best of your ability, with the time that God gives to you, choose Him first? And it might even be on occasion as you're falling asleep, say, "Oh, Father, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes or a few seconds." but choose him first. There is something so very purifying in making the choice to go here first, even if you don't get to spend as much time as you would like. It is so very, very healthy to your spiritual life, to your mental, emotional, physical life, to choose God's wisdom first. And then as you find more and more time throughout the years, then you'll have more time for him and more time for those other things as well. But an excellent woman is a wise woman. And when she opens her mouth, what comes out is wisdom. She's also a woman of compassion. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Our kids learn kindness from you, ladies. They watch kindness in action. They hear kindness in word. They learn how to treat others by experiencing how you treat them. And oh, in this world and in our society, the devil is doing everything he can to make us uptight, stressed out, over-anxious, over-committed, financially behind, and completely exhausted. And it's so very, very, very hard to be kind when you live under those circumstances. Kindness is incredibly important. It's number two, really, in this list. Wisdom being one, kindness being two. Make every effort that you can to be kind and to show your kids what it looks like to be kind. 27, she looks well to the way of her household. And I'm just going to say about this, to sum it all up, I see this as involvement. The house doesn't rule you. The house needs don't define you, don't determine what you do every day. But moms, grandmoms, wives, and just ladies, whatever home you find yourself in, whatever house is yours, whether you live with others or you live by yourself, be involved. Be involved with people. If you have a house full of people, you already have people to be involved with. But don't pull away. Don't go into your room and close the door. Don't escape. Solomon talks about looking well to the ways of her household and not being idle. And though I know that I've not really met very many ladies in my life who were ever idle, I really think one of the things that Solomon is really, really driving at is that, ladies, we need to be involved. You need to be connected. There needs to be people in your life that you talk to and talk with. There needs to be those that are asking you questions. There need to be those that you are asking questions of them. And again, I know all of this is so much a factor of how much time you have. But my encouragement here as we talk about wisdom and kindness and involvement is just that you will stay engaged, stay involved. Regardless of what your opportunities are, don't use them as an excuse to pull away. Take advantage of what you can. Look for more opportunities if you have the time to invest. We desperately need you to be involved. This is kind of what a virtuous lady looks like. One who recognizes she was created for a reason, the way she was, who she is, gifts that she were given, skill set that she enjoys, opportunities through friends and family and neighbors to make a difference. And by God's grace, she simply does the best that she can to take advantage of those opportunities. Kind of in closing, just the last slide is just one that I want you to see and to be able to focus in on. Ladies, every single thing that you say and do makes a difference. And it will be remembered, not just here, but hereafter. The opportunities that you have are quickly passing. Don't let them get away. Encourage, bless, love on, talk to, be kind to, be gentle with your children, your grandchildren, regardless of their age. Be interested, be engaged as much as you can be. love on them, laugh with them, encourage them. And please don't ever forget that God made you special for a very good reason. And your special touch, your special personality, your special way to handle life is exactly what we need to keep us from just becoming old, you know, fuddy-duddies who only see the next task that we got to get done. We lean on you. We look to you. We draw encouragement from you. So don't give up and don't get discouraged and don't be weary in well-doing. But up until your very last breath, ladies, could you please continue to be exactly who God created you to be? Because our world desperately, desperately needs it. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for our mothers, our wives. We're thankful for the single gals that are represented even here in this building. Lord, you have a purpose and a place and a plan for every single one of them. And they are doing incredible work that I'm ashamed to say so often goes completely unnoticed and unappreciated. And though today's the day that we remind ourselves to appreciate them, Lord, would you make it go much deeper than that? Would you give to us as men, as husbands, as fathers, the insight to see into the heart of that special woman in our life? Lord, would you cause us to fully appreciate and value the one that you've called to be our helpmeet, the one that you've called to be the mother of our children and the grandma of our grandchildren. May we honor them. May we encourage them. May we tell them often of their value and to help them, Lord, as we do continue down this road of life, that it might be a sweet journey until the very end, not one that's filled with regrets or disappointments or frustrations or loneliness. Lord, bless our moms, bless our grandmoms, and bless our single ladies today. Would you draw them close to yourself? Would you minister to them in a special way? And Father, we'll thank you. Dismiss us with your blessing. May this day be a great day as we sense your presence in all that we do and as we live for your honor and glory. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.